Each week we check in with Indiana men's soccer coach Todd Yeagley, and the Hoosiers back on the road in Big Ten play this week after a trip down to Lexington earlier in the week. And, well, first of all, good afternoon, buddy. Sun's out. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Glass.
Always appreciate you making time and double-barreled road trip action this week. And, well, your Hoosiers got off to a really solid start earlier in the week against Kentucky, scoring in the first quarter hour. Carson Henderlong bags his first of the season. Plenty of open spaces in that game. And, well, the luckless Indiana Hoosiers continue. There's a center back throwing his foot into a full volley about 15, 18 minutes later, and it's 1-1. Wide open game, plenty of chances, unlucky in certain situations. Boy, you guys just have it all each game. You guys fill the bingo card.
Well, I did feel felt good about the game, Glass, in many ways. And, you know, looking back, the penalty obviously was a tough, a tough call. But JT comes up big, and you need that. So I felt that was a good moment for the group. But really, in the rearview mirror, we, you know, the chances that we're creating has still been, you know, the story of the year. We're creating a lot of good attacks in different ways, and we're just not finding the back of the net at the rate that that we need. And you know, and we're not giving much away at the other end. And you know, gave one on a defensive restart, which we need to do better on that particular moment. But we're, you know, still haven't generated a goal from attacking restart, and we were much closer. The balls are sitting around the six on second balls. We're right there. It's just we haven't been able to punch it home, and you know, we also haven't gotten a call. Calls aren't
no,
going
you have
our
not.
Way.
You have not,
and you know, that's part of the game. Any sport, it just feels like it's been kind of a one wave at us. And I say we gotta do it without a break, although breaks are really good, and that's a deflection. Last time we were at Penn State, pretty even game, but the goal was an own goal. Nick Sesic put a really good ball in behind, and center back went for it, and keeper anticipated the through ball, and there it went in the back of the net. That was the difference. And so, like, those are the moments, you know, we haven't been able to capitalize on. But when you surge and you put enough attacks together, those certainly should fall at some point. And yet, you know, a bit more composure. On the final pass and the final finish, we get another goal or two, and we walk away 3-1 feeling really good about our performance. And so, you know, got to continue to look at our performance, how we're doing, and not overreact to the tie, because we're doing so many good things on both sides of the ball. It's just we just got to just still continue to get better on those attacking restarts and final actions in our box.
I don't know if I was surprised. I felt the game was open against Kentucky. I felt there was plenty of space to operate in, well, through the middle and even into the early portions of the final third. What more can you ask from your attacking players? Is there, I don't know, magic pixie dust, a switch to flip? Is it being more direct? Is it taking more of a chance? Is there anything in that department, or you got to just stick to the principles?
Well, I think, you know, when we overdo something, sometimes you know, I thought we might have overpassed on a few and we had a finish. And so there's been a couple games I felt like, you know, we're taking some finishes we shouldn't, and we have an extra pass. And then, you know, sometimes it's literal. And in the next game, we have a couple really good windows to hit it, and we look for the extra pass, and we're a little unselfish. So, you know, you got to be really careful on how you kind of thread the needle, Glass, with, you know, young players who, you know, certainly many of them expectation-wise would want more goals, and certainly we'd expect that, you know, to have, you know, Carson after halfway the season, you know, one of your prime attackers to get his first goal. Tommy still doesn't have a goal. Maloon, who we've used all over the field, you know, doesn't have a goal. You know, Collins has kind of dried up as of late. And some of the guys that we brought in off the bench, whether it's Luca Bizzaro or Clay, you know, still haven't been able to register. So you got a lot of pressing players, and we just got to be careful on how much we give, and you got to trust moments. And, you know, we look at video, and hopefully those little moments become more instinctual in the match. But we are just really doing a lot of good stuff. And so there's not a disappointment with the group. I just keep telling them, continue to do what you're doing. Just here, two little things we can do better. And that's the difference of the tie or the win. And yeah, that's what you, instead of overreacting to another tie, which the ties are difficult, especially when you, you know, outplay a team. Some ties through the years, Glass, you might go, okay, that game, we'll take the tie.
Yeah, take it, run. That's right.
There's not one tie this year. Maybe outside Notre Dame on the road, where both teams were a bit fatigued. It was such a brutally hot day. That one, maybe everyone's like, okay, fair enough. Let's just call it a draw and move on. But every other game, you know, I feel like that maybe three of those games are wins. You know, we started the 19 season with four overtime wins to start the year. You know, that would be four ties this year. And that's just, you know, when teams sit a little bit, Kentucky didn't. That was the most open teams played us, Class, and your observation 100% right. They were a little bit give to get before they got back into their deeper shape, the way they played their center backs and their wing backs. Before they got back in a five back, there was space to go. And once they got back, it was very difficult. But yeah, there's games that we're leaving going, man, we needed more time. And, you know, the rules are the rules. There's no overtime. So we got to find it in 90. But not press. And so that's the message to the group. Just be more hungry on restarts, details, and have composure on the finish, and we can get it done in 90.
Coach Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer. They are back in action coming up tomorrow. Lunchtime. We've got two lunchtime games coming up here in the next couple of weeks. We'll get to those momentarily. I want to go back to the stroke of the luck or the unlucky, because we talked last time about taking a look on the monitor, seeing the penalty decision. You saw the one. Is that a Big Ten rule, or is that a college soccer rule? It looked like the referee brought you guys over in the Kentucky game as well. What was his understanding or passing along to you of what he saw in that buildup?
Yeah, there was a little confusion. Some of these rules are, it depends if it's non-conference or conference. So I don't know if the official, you know, there's things you can review in conference.
Well, Stoic has done 1,000 games. He should know what's going on, shouldn't he?
Well, it's confusing. They go from non-conference to conference games. I think he was, one, looking at was in or out of the box, which in a non-conference game, that's really all you can do on a penalty if it's called. He declared it was in, and he wanted to stay with his call. And which, if you look back at it, Hugo has some contact with the upper body, but the player slips on the ball, and that's why he fell. But, you know, that's what it is. And then he also wanted to see if it was worthy of a red, because you can review if it's like a goal, a dog so basically, an opportunity to take a goal scoring opportunity away. So he said he wasn't going to change the non-yellow, because Hugo was on a yellow prior to that.
Right.
So
that was a big call.
Yeah. So he got that right. I think it's a soft penalty, just like Michigan State.
Actually, the penalty helped you there because they scored on the next touch. If he would have played advantage. So,
correct.
I mean, this was a whole thing. This is.
That's right, Glass. You're right.
Oh, my gosh.
Look it back. Yeah.
That's
it's crazy.
But so he's already made that decision, and then you have a stone dead, cold, ice cold, obvious penalty later in that game. And I'm just curious if he mentioned to you what he didn't see there.
No, I talked to him after the game. I just disappointed that, you know, there was a couple that I thought, certainly one with Tommy, that, you know,
it wasn't close.
And you know, not referees are human, and often if there's one that's soft or barely,
yeah, they're going to give you another one. They're going to give you one back.
It's just you're keeping score. That's the same reason why referees late in games don't blow certain things, that they don't want to become the decider. But when you've made a big call and you have an opportunity to even it up. Most officials are doing that, you know, whether they even called one earlier, you know, that's a penalty is a penalty. And yet the human nature of it would even scream more a penalty after he called one on us. But he didn't. And that's frustrating, because those are obviously big moments and opportunities that we weren't able to finish the play. So
yeah, hitting the bar, getting almost a sniffer off a drop cross there. It's just, yeah, boy, all the check marks. It's just when it rains,
and
it pours sometimes.
So final pass too, Glass. We had a couple that we overhit, underhit.
Yeah.
didn't play the proper foot, and we maybe got a shot, but it was one that, man, that would have been a great goal scoring opportunity. So some of that's on us, and we're doing better. But, you know, Carson's goal is a good example. I mean, the combination kind of got, you know, played off the kneecap of the defender, and it just fell to Carson. That might have been kind of the first kind of like break of the year where like an attack fell to us, and he had to hit it well. It was not an easy finish, but it did fall to him. And, you know, those are the moments you just expect more of it when you have as much, you know, attacks in and around the box that a ball is going to find its way. It's similar to the first restart, you know, had a little bit of variation restart. Patty plays a ball behind the wall and the defender gets a toe on it, trying to make a play, but actually almost puts it right into Sammy's. He would have had a tap in and it just goes 2 yards right to the keeper. And you're like, man, the margins are so tight. And so we just say, if we keep getting these spots and we make these plays, we're going to get rewarded. And I truly believe that. And that's the plan heading into tomorrow's game.
Yeah. Plenty of new things off the training pitch, as we saw in that match, which was terribly unlucky. You're not being penned in. You don't have 20% possession, and it's just, I don't know. You should see the look on my face. I'm just as perplexed as probably you are, but the effort is there, and that's the good part of it. The message, Penn State, interesting. Noon kickoff, Big Ten Network, so we're all going to be watching, tuning in on Saturday, tomorrow at noon, and then you come back and play the 15th against Ohio State, which is also a noon kickoff on a Sunday. That's a little different. We see that perhaps in the tournament, but I know some of your teams have been nighttime teams and some of your teams have been mid-afternoon teams. Is this a morning team?
Well, I'd like to think so. Let's check it out.
Let's do something different, right? Let's shake it up. Yeah. We're playing night games. Let's go. Yeah.
It's unique. I mean, the Saturday game was requested the Big Ten Network, and we were able to move it. It was supposed to be a Sunday. And so with our recovery from Kentucky, we thought we could do it. And therefore, we moved to, you know, Saturday at noon, which is usually reserved for all football. And so we're going to have a lot of eyeballs on us at this kickoff time tomorrow. And then you'll have a Sunday at noon or two, you know, as we know, Glass through the season just happens to be that's the one we got picked for with Ohio State. So, no, I think this group, you know, that when the fall starts to take effect, I think the heat drops a bit. You know, those early afternoon games, I think can be just fine as long as that sun doesn't become a factor. And certainly in noon, it's not going to be at either place. And the weather at State College tomorrow is, you know, I think the high is 60. Perfect. So it's going to be perfect soccer temperature in noon to play. So it's game on, and two teams have a lot to play for.
And the Penn State Nittany Lions provide an excellent opportunity for your squad to get a victory, which obviously you need to get that RPI cranked up as well. Penn State 6-1-3 on the season. They are 2-0-1 in conference. They have played well, but they're coming off a scoreless draw with Michigan State, who is playing well. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Keys to the match tomorrow against the Nittany Lions, noon in Happy Valley.
Well, I mean, they have a really experienced goalkeeper with shakes, and his distribution is excellent. So we have to be aware of his ability to kind of open the game up. I think you might remember a throw he had a couple of years ago at our place. I think he threw it from the top of his box into our half.
Yes.
So he's experienced. He's very good, and there's a reason they're not giving up a lot. But really, the key to their team is Mangione. They're number 10, and they have a lot of good players in and around him. Liam Butts has been a big player for them. He'll either start or come off the bench. They have a couple of new pieces. They're good everywhere. And yet Mangione's the one that's, you know, kind of finding the big moment for them. And, you know, they're not overwhelming teams, Glass, by any stretch. I mean, most of their games have been pretty tight from the run of play and statistically, but they're finding a moment. And Mangione's been that player for them. Take Mangione out of the equation, I don't know exactly where, you know, probably sitting on a few more ties would be my guess. But they've found and made some breaks. So certainly they're the team at the top with Northwestern. But if you look at the performance and the way they've been playing our opponents that we know and have seen now, I mean, we had quite a bit of Michigan State on the road, and obviously that game was a bit of a 50-50 game. You know, neither team kind of took hold of it last week. It almost seemed like they were both okay with the draw, which I'm not saying that they were, but that's kind of how the game looked. I think certainly we're going in for 3 points, I can't say what Penn State's looking for, but we're going for 3 points. That's how we'll approach it.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer, Hoosiers, Nittany Lions, noon, the Big Ten Network tomorrow. Tune in and watch, obviously. And, Mangione is a problem. Do you change what you do defensively knowing that he is the problem, or are you more concerned about with your 11 staying organized, working your principles, and just doing what you do?
I mean, we do want to stay and continue what we do. We made a little bit of a system change in our last game against Kentucky just to kind of nullify some of their, and I thought it helped us. This game, we'll have a little bit more protection in and around Mangione than maybe we would in another game. And, you know, that's what you kind of need to do. But, no, not change what we're doing. You know, completely to try to nullify Mangione. Just be super aware of him within our shape and how we rotate and, you know, how we protect the center backs. So we'll be able to prepare for that, and the guys know. And ultimately, it's just making really good plays. And, you know, we've dealt with him through the years, and he's been good, but we've done really well against him and their team. So I'm confident we can do it again.
Big opportunity coming up on Saturday. Best wishes, safest of travels, and we'll get caught up with you next week and see where we're going.
You got it. Thanks, class.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer, the head coach, joins us each week, and we put his full interview up at WGCLradio.com so you can keep track of the Hoosiers. 3-3-4. Need to get those shuffled around a bit. We'll hopefully start with a big road victory against co-leaders in the Big Ten. Penn State tomorrow, noon, on the Big Ten Network.